And Rochetta, congratulations on achieving this win. But are you concerned that this is just a pause by the president and could very well be an election year action that he could then reverse later on?
This pause is not just a minor achievement. It is a significant milestone because it sets the stage for potential rejections and slows down the progress of these projects, making it harder for them to secure financing. It could not have been possible without frontline leadership, but our work is not over because we are very aware that this is an election year and that this could be, you know, some kind of action to help give voters or encourage young people to vote for this administration, because they told this administration straight out, if you don't make a bold move towards climate, then we're not going to vote for you. So we are aware of that. But what this has done is open the door for investigations to see if these projects are in the best interest of the public. Once these reports come out, if frontline leaders like myself and other frontline community members along the Gulf Coast and in other communities where these projects are overburdenedly located, then they will see that these projects are not in the best interest. Again, out of my six children, two of them have asthma. My sister dealt with cancer. My nephew had cancer. This is not right. Enough is enough. And it doesn't matter what president comes after. Once we prove that these projects are not in the best interest of the communities and show the harm that they're doing, if they listen to science and look at facts and data and still allow these projects to come in communities, then it will be even more evident that we have been deemed as sacrifices and that they don't care about Black, Brown, Indigenous, and low-income people in this country.
Well, Rochetta Ozan, we thank you so much for being with us, founder and director of the environmental justice group, the Vessel Project of Louisiana. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez as we turn now to look more closely at the area of Louisiana known as Cancer Alley, an 85-mile corridor stretching from Baton Rouge and New Orleans that's filled with fossil fuel and petrochemical plants. A new report by Human Rights Watch has found newborns living in Cancer Alley experience low birth weights at more than three times the national average. The rate of preterm births is also twice the national average, which can cause several long-term health problems later in life, including respiratory illnesses such as asthma and cognitive issues. Cancer Alley is home to predominantly Black communities who suffer from the highest pollution-related cancer rates in the country. This is an excerpt from a new video produced by Human Rights Watch, beginning with Caitlin Joshua, resident of Ascension Parish in Louisiana.
I first heard the term Cancer Alley when I went to college. I thought, oh my God, this makes so much sense, and it completely defines what we've been dealing with in this area for quite some time. Cancer Alley is, by definition, the long stretch between Baton Rouge and New Orleans that is filled with fossil fuel and petrochemical industry. If you just look at a map where the plantations once existed, or is now majority Black and Brown population along that same line, it's also the similar map of the petrochemical industries and the build out.
I never really associated the industries with our illnesses, but I do know people started dying so fast. And we had one person died in 1 week. Sometimes we had two in 1 week. Sometimes we had three.
When I started learning more about what these chemicals are doing to our bodies and that there was a connection between the chemicals that are in our water and in the air, and that those chemicals can cause miscarriages and infertility issues, that's when I started like realizing, okay, this may have contributed to my miscarriage.
The approach that DEQ and industry has taken is to simply try to point to a map and say, oh, well, you know, there's some places where the cancer rates are lower, and we don't see cancer across the entire area at rates that are higher than the state average. That's not the question, right? The question is, are people who are exposed to cancer-causing pollution developing cancer at higher rates in those communities? And absolutely the data support that, yes, in Louisiana, places where you have more industrial pollution, you have higher cancer rates.
The industry is expanding on both sides of us, so we're almost sandwiched in between, and we make a sacrifice here in Donaldsonville. I'm a mother of three kids, one girl, that's my older child, and I have a set of twins, a boy and a girl. All three of my babies was preterm deliveries and underweight babies. My son born with only one developed strong lung. The doctor did not have faith that that twin would live to make it with the other twin.
We know that Louisiana has a really high rate of adverse birth outcomes. But what we found was that pollution is a really big factor. Pollution is causing health problems above and beyond cancer. Our study provides more evidence that people who are living close to petrochemical plants in the area known as Cancer Alley, who are exposed to hazardous air pollution, are more likely to have babies that have low birth weight or deliver those babies preterm. Low birth weight and preterm birth are associated with health problems that can persist into adulthood.
My son actually went to school to about 2 miles from the industry, and the air quality caused him not to be able to participate in recess because he would have so many asthma attacks. He would describe it as pinching your nose and trying to suck through or breathe through a coffee straw.
I had asthma my entire life. It does limit a lot of what I can do, but I still try and make sure that I can, you know, run up behind my kids, especially my five-year-old. I grew up in Baton Rouge, and we moved to Geismar about a year and a half ago. Just last year, my husband and I experienced a miscarriage that was right after the abortion ban in the state of Louisiana. A great deal of the hospitals were turning us away. I spent a lot of time trying to understand why so many women, and myself included, were experiencing miscarriages. Complete strangers that look like me, that live in this region, have said, you know, I've experienced that multiple times. And then, of course, came back to Cancer Alley being one of the reasons. I think our state is going to have to, you know, take a hard look in the mirror and understand that we can't keep saying yes to industry as is.
When I look back over the years, we're still at the bottom of everything. As black people, we're suffering the brunt of all the ill effects of this petrochemical industry. We don't benefit anything from it.
We are the sacrifice zone. We mean nothing at all. What they would like is for all of us to move, for them to buy us out. We die out, or they try to buy us out. So every bit of this beautiful river road is industrial.
We're dying here. A video produced by Human Rights Watch, which has just published a new report, The Fight for Life in a Louisiana Fossil Fuel Sacrifice Zone. We're joined now by the report's author, Antonia Yuhas, senior researcher on fossil fuels at Human Rights Watch. Antonia is an award-winning longtime investigative journalist covering oil and energy, author of several books, including Black Tide, The Devastating Impact of the Gulf Oil Spill. Antonia, this is the first time that Human Rights Watch has investigated the human rights toll of the oil, gas, and petrochemical industry in the United States, the first time in the Gulf Coast. Talk about the significance of this. I mean, the facts and figures in this video and your report are devastating.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy, and thanks for having me. And thanks so much for having Rosetta at the opening section and airing the sections of the video. Human Rights Watch did a fantastic report and investigation on coal and mountaintop removal in 2018, but that's the only time that we've done this type of deep, traditional human rights investigation, looking at accusations of human rights harm and then investigating them on the ground for oil, gas, or petrochemicals in the United States, and as you said, the first time in the Gulf Coast. The significance is documenting, as you say, this devastating harm and demonstrating the fossil fuel and petrochemical industry's role in bringing about these harms. I've covered the Gulf Coast and Cancer Alley for some time. I was actually astounded at the level of pollution, simply the scale of the pollution that we uncovered, and the role of the fossil fuel and petrochemical industry in covering it. Louisiana has citizens are exposed to the worst toxic pollution of any people across the United States. The fossil fuel and petrochemical industry contributes to the worst air pollution in the state. They're the second leading cause of water pollution in the state. They're the single largest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions in the state. And the state is failing to regulate those emissions so that people across Louisiana, Cancer Alley in particular, and then Black communities in particular, are exposed to devastating amounts of extremely harmful pollution, causing expanded rates or extreme rates and risk of cancer, respiratory ailments. And then, as you showed in the clip, the new research that we were able to share by Terrell, St. Julian, and Wallace, finding for the first time this has been investigated in Louisiana, what exposure to extreme air pollution causes to maternal, reproductive, and newborn health. And then what we were able to add to that was isolating out that the fossil fuel and petrochemical industry is the single largest contributor to industrial air pollution. And this toll, as you said, is just dramatic. Three times the national rate for low birth weight, 2.5 times for preterm birth, and the devastating toll that that has on people's lives, their livelihoods, and their well-being, and the failure of the federal and state governments to protect, uphold, and defend human rights of people living in Cancer Alley.
Well, Antonia, I wanted to ask you, this reminds me decades ago, back in the 1980s, when I was a young reporter in Philadelphia, I worked on a series of articles. At that time, Philadelphia County had the highest cancer death rate of any urban county in the United States, and it was at the bottom of what was then called Cancer Alley in New Jersey, where all the petrochemical and oil-producing companies were strung along the New Jersey Turnpike down to Philadelphia. And when I reported back then that the death rates were highest in Philadelphia within the neighborhoods, in the two neighborhoods that were filled, one with oil refineries, because Philadelphia was then one of the few cities that had oil refineries within the city limits, and with chemical plants, there was a huge uproar. The state introduced a cancer registry. But interestingly, all of the people who were dying were largely white working class people in the Bridgeburg section of Philadelphia and in South Philadelphia. I'm wondering, you mentioned the Black communities that are affected here. Do you think there's a difference in the reaction to this kind of information when it affects communities of color versus white communities?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. And what you're seeing in Louisiana is, first, I mean, this history is very important. The fossil fuel and petrochemical industry moved in, as the video showed, into the basically onto on top of former plantations. Some even took the names of the plantations that they moved in on top of. Many pushed out, moved in on top of communities that had been built that were called free towns, that were communities built by formerly enslaved communities and their families, pushed them out, destroyed them, built side by side within Black communities. And what research by Kimberly Terrell also showed is that as the years progressed in the 60s and 70s and moving forward, the industry actually concentrated the worst polluting facilities and more facilities even more firmly into Black communities. So you do have white communities throughout Cancer Alley. They are getting harmed. But the worst polluting facilities, the most polluting facilities, are concentrated in those Black communities in Welcome, where Sharon Levine is from, throughout the region. And we're seeing significantly disproportionate harm and a disproportionate toll on the Black communities as a result. So now the community with the highest risk of cancer in the entire nation, with seven times the risk rate of anywhere else in the U.S. from industrial air pollution, is in Cancer Alley, is where Robert Taylor lives. He was also in the video. And what you have here is, so the federal government sets a minimum bar by which all states need to have their laws adhere to. And Louisiana basically has its laws at that lowest bar. And then it doesn't enforce them. So the state isn't enforcing them. It's failing to enforce the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, other federal laws. And then the federal government is failing to step in and ensure that the state enforces the law. I mean, I was able to record data that the industry puts out itself. So the industry self-reports its pollution. So what we know about how much it pollutes only comes from the industry itself. And first of all, that data has been shown to be sometimes 28 times too low. The amount that they're reporting is actually 28 times more than the actual emissions are 28 times more than what they're actually reporting. But even based on the self-reported data, they are showing themselves that they are polluting beyond what's allowed under the Clean Water Act, under the Clean Air Act, under federal laws. And there's just a failure of enforcement so that you have this extreme burden, extreme amount of pollution, resulting in extreme human health harm. And what's important, as you demonstrated with what happens in other locations, is you can enforce the law. You can tighten the regulations. You can make them tighter. You can increase enforcement. And you can make the facilities safer. You can force the industry to spend its money not on expanding, but rather keeping the existing operations as clean and safe as they possibly can. And some places do it way better than others. They tighten the regulations. They tighten the enforcement. But we also found, and one of the reasons why we took on this research, was to say, can you regulate this problem away? And the answer is ultimately no, because not only do you have an undue, unnecessary burden being caused by the fossil fuel and petrochemical industry on the ground and the human rights harms on the ground, you also, of course, have an industry that's the single largest contributor to the climate crisis. And as I said, the fossil fuel and petrochemical operations in Cancer Alley and across Louisiana are the single largest industrial contributor to greenhouse gas emissions in the state. 15% of the gas that is produced in Louisiana and is moved around in Louisiana and is consumed in Louisiana simply goes to moving around more oil and gas. And so this explains the necessity and why local communities are calling for, first, a moratorium on any new fossil fuel and petrochemical plants. They've said enough is enough. We don't trust that you can operate safely, and we don't want you to continue to contribute to the climate crisis. And so we support moratoria on new or expanded operations, like the one that Biden has basically put in place for LNG. And we also say, don't expand with things like CCS. Instead, figure out how to implement the just and equitable phase out. And so we put in place recommended laws and changes to regulation and enforcement that can help speed up that phase out of fossil fuel and petrochemical operations in Cancer Alley in Louisiana, and do it in a model, for example, that's already being used through the Inflation Reduction Act, and that's being applied to abandoned oil and gas wells, which are a huge pollution source, dangerous. Workers have been employed to remediate those old sites, turn them into safe sites. Let's do that as we move out of fossil fuels and petrochemicals. Let's hire workers to remediate those sites. Let's build off of what Louisiana is already in the forefront of, which is implementing localized renewable sources of energy that are safer, cleaner, employ workers to do that. And we are offering recommendations that can help move through that transition. Better regulate the industry now, transition away from it as well.
Antonia Juhas, a senior researcher on fossil fuels at Human Rights Watch, will link to the report, We're Dying Here, The Fight for Life in Louisiana Fossil Fuel Sacrifice Zone. Coming up, we continue with Amnesty International's new report, The Cost of Doing Business, The Petrochemical Industry's Toxic Pollution in the USA. Back in 20 seconds.
Just want to be with you right now.
This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. The cost of doing business, the petrochemical industry's toxic pollution in the USA. That's the name of a new Amnesty International report, which finds the life expectancy in predominantly black communities along the Houston Ship Channel in Texas is up to 20 years less than in nearby white communities. The Houston Ship Channel is lined by over 600 petrochemical plants that operate 24 hours a day, disproportionately polluting low-income, largely black and Latin next communities. In a moment, we'll talk about the report with one of its authors, but first to the new video produced by Amnesty.
A new Amnesty International report reveals human rights are being sacrificed along the Houston Ship Channel in Texas by devastating pollution from over 600 petrochemical plants in the area. These plants process fossil fuels into chemicals to make things like plastics, fertilizers, and pesticides for use in the USA and around the world, including Europe. Fenceline communities are regularly exposed to toxic substances linked to a wide range of illnesses such as cancers and respiratory diseases.
People that work at the plant told us, oh, that's benzene. Oh, that's sulfur. They burn all of this off.
These communities are marginalized and in turn often lack access to the healthcare they need, let alone the resources to fight this injustice and environmental racism.
And minority communities tend to be the ones that are having to deal with the brunt of the issues, and it's something we'll continue to battle and educate people what's going on.
Despite regulations, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality rarely imposes penalties, allowing companies to evade fines by claiming air pollution is unplanned or unavoidable.
They get slapped on the wrist with these little fines. They pay the fines, but they're still polluting. They're still making people sick.
In the past decade, there have been widely reported fires and unexpected toxic leaks in the area, resulting in evacuations, injuries, and even death. Despite the danger to local communities, the environment, and climate, the petrochemical industry continues to expand as oil and gas companies look to offset anticipated falls in the demand for fossil fuels. We can all play a part in protecting fenceline communities from the toxic petrochemical industry. Demand accountability and remedy for fenceline communities.
A new video report by Amnesty International. We're joined now by Marta Schaff, director of the Program on Climate, Economic and Social Justice and Corporate Accountability at Amnesty International, which just released their new report, The Cost of Doing Business, the Petrochemical Industry's Toxic Pollution in the USA. Marta, thanks so much for being with us. You are naming names from ExxonMobil to Shell. Talk about the significance of the Houston Channel and what the cost of doing business is.
Sure. Thanks, Amy. So we are naming names. We looked at, we did case studies of four specific petrochemical facilities. Three of them produce petrochemicals, which are derived from fossil fuels and used in everyday products such as fertilizers and, importantly, single-use plastics, which are the production of single-use plastics is projected to double in the U.S. by 2040. And the U.S. is, in fact, the number two producer after China of petrochemical companies. And we looked at one facility that's a storage facility for these petrochemicals. Often, petrochemicals are stored until there's a more favorable price and then shipped out, so exposing communities to further harm. So we are naming names, but at the same time, as the segment, as you noted, there are over 600 facilities along the Houston Ship Channel, which is the waterway that runs from the city of Houston to the Gulf of Mexico. So our findings are exemplary of broader challenges and issues in terms of poor regulation and inadequate laws at the state and federal level.
And Marta, I'm wondering, again, years ago when I was looking into some of these issues of pollution in the petrochemical industry, the big problem was that government regulators only came during working hours, and these companies were very good at being able to emit their worst pollution at night and on weekends so that the regulators weren't even around. I'm wondering what you're able to find these days, what's happening.
Well, what we found is that many of the air quality monitors, for example, are they're sparsely located and not necessarily in the communities at issue, and that when residents report problems such as vibrations, chemical odors, smoke, other things that would cause them to believe that there's been some sort of exceedance or pollution event, they're not always responded to in a timely fashion. And in fact, Texas has a law, SB 471, stating that if a community has made multiple complaints, that the regulators are not required to respond to their complaint. And this really flies in the face of logic, because we know that several communities are exposed disproportionately to these challenges, to these exceedances. So it stands to reason that they would make multiple reports, of course. So this law just came into effect in August of 2023 and is expected to even further undermine residents' capacity to report smoke and other odors and events that cause them to think that there's been some sort of pollution event.
Could you talk
when
also
we conducted
about
the interviews?
You mentioned something called in your report, the affirmative defense that companies use for unpermitted pollution. Could you talk about that as well?
Yeah, so the affirmative defense, it's basically a loophole in state law that allows companies to say a particular emissions event was, quote, unplanned and unavoidable. So they make this claim with great frequency, and they are granted the defense with great frequency by the TCEQ, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. So it basically provides them an out. They may or may not be levied with a small fine, but these fines are so small that it is more beneficial to the company to continue to operate cheaply and to live with these exceedances as the cost of doing business, the title of the report. And it's the sacrifice zones, the communities living on the fence line of these facilities, that pay the price for that high cost of doing business, in fact.
Finally, Amnesty International's recommendations, Marta Schaff.
Mm-hmm. So we recommend both. We look at local, state, and federal law and find that there are gaps in all of these, and on top of the fact that the laws themselves are inadequate, they're poorly implemented. So we call for much stronger implementation of existing law as regards to responding to complaints, to permitting renewal is a key opportunity to ask companies to look at their compliance, to look at the number of times they've been in noncompliance, and to make real demands or to not renew their permits, to insist on changes or close the facilities. Similarly, the EPA should look at the states, the extent to which they've implemented federal law in the state, and make demands on what's required to ensure that these companies are allowed to continue to operate. Like Human Rights Watch, we also recognize that the petrochemicals industry should not be growing, that fossil fuel-derived products should be phased out over time. And so we call for a moratorium on expansion and suggest several avenues that the state can use to transition folks to good jobs in the renewable energy industry and in remediation in the petrochemicals industry in Texas.
Well, we want to thank you so much for being with us. Marta Schaff, Director of Amnesty International's Program on Climate, Economic and Social Justice and Corporate Accountability. We'll link to Amnesty's new report, The Cost of Doing Business, the Petrochemical Industry's Toxic Pollution in the USA. Amnesty's noted that the production of plastics by petrochemical plants is set to double by 2040, despite the fact that it poses environmental pollutant and health hazards, to say the least, particularly in communities of color. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for a major gifts officer. Check it out at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.